Today's reading comes from 2 John, the elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. This is the word of the Lord.
Fiona, thank you very much as ever. Ed, thanks for praying for us. And let me just add my welcome to that of Ed's. I'm the other Adam that the other Adam mentioned at the start. I'm Adam the Vicar here. It's great to have you. And again, a special warm welcome if you are new here or still feeling new. It's great that you're here. Do keep that open, page 1229, the annoyingly unnumbered page. But it will be after 1228, before 1230. And we're going to look at these words together. Let me start by just reminding us, as we've heard a couple of times, where we were. We're just pausing before I go away for a wee while, and I'll share a bit more about that in a moment. Just pausing our series in the Psalms for a couple of weeks. And Paul, as we heard, for 3 Sundays, a minister from downtown came to bless us with some sermons. And we just heard Psalm 122, if you were here last Sunday, where there's this wonderful assurance for Christians as we continue life's journey with the Lord, that the destination of eternity with the Lord is assured because it has been secured by Christ for the Christian. And so there's a real just joy in the psalm of therefore, so keep going with a certainty of eternity. And if you're, again, perhaps someone who is new here, and you're just wondering what the claims of Christianity are all about, what is it we keep going in? Well, there's something of that here this morning, as John writes. Think John, the friend of Jesus, the disciple, you might have heard of his gospel, as he wants Christians, he writes to the lady, a church, to keep going. We'll hear more as he unpacks that. And I thought it would be helpful because I think whether we are a newer Christian or maybe a veteran Christian, you might not describe yourself that way, but you know what I mean, or something in between, perhaps there are times where you wonder and worry, do you know, I'm not sure I can keep going. So there's great hope last week in that psalm, but you think, do you know, I'm not sure I can. In fact, the longer we keep going, you'll know that the harder it seems to get. Life is hard. Lovely to hear Lucy be so candid earlier. Times where you'll say, for all the assurance, I'm just not sure I can keep going. Lots here will have known seasons of doubt or despair or just a deep desire to give up with the Lord. Others of us will know those who've done that, tragically. And so how do you and I, with these great assurances of the psalmist, how do we simply keep putting one foot of faith in front of the other, day by day? What matters most in life's Christian walk to simply keep walking in the truth of Christ? As I say, I wanted to root things here because there's no clever formula. It's a wonderful letter that just wants to spell the simplicity of that walk out. And I say that because, as we said, in a couple of weeks, Kate, me, the children, off on sabbatical, posh word for a big long holiday, if I'm perfectly honest. The church institution calls it study leave. I'll study something, but I'm not sure what, and we can edit the tape in case the bishops are watching. But it's a lovely time to have a real rest from ministry, as much as we love serving here, to just kind of regroup and get refreshed, ready for the next season as we return. And so every 10 years in the Church of England, they give you very generously give you some time to do that. So we're really looking forward to that time. And I'm really wanting, therefore, to ground what my prayer is for you and that what we would say could please be your prayer for us. And it's simply two words, and it's what John says is his prayer. Would we just keep walking? That's it. Keep walking. Now, I say that because I know with the youth, if you're here, it's lovely to have you in our Sunday services. You might hear the word walk and just think you're about to die. If you're anything like my teenage children, a walk is about the most dull thing any parent's going to ask you to do on a Sunday afternoon. But stay with us. There is a reason why it's called a walk, not a run. And it's really important we just keep walking in its simplicity. Now, we know Jesus' closest friend, John, he wrote this letter to encourage Christians to simply do that. Keep walking, not running, walking day by day through the journey of life. And that means it can be a long walk. It means it's a day by day, week by week sometimes, through the highs and the lows of that long journey of simply putting one foot in front of the other, which sometimes will feel hard. And if we're a Christian believer this morning, we share in this walk together. Think big family walk Sunday afternoon. We share this walk, and we're simply shaped and sustained to do so by truth and love. That is how we keep walking, truth and love. John wrote those words, truth and love, 10 times in just the first 6 verses, and often together. So I guess he means truth and love matter. They're the heart of what he wants us to do in the simplicity of keep walking. And we're just going to look actually at those first 6 verses today. The last 7 verses unpack a little bit more his concern that when we're tempted to run, it's often because there's something new and exciting that kind of draws us away from the simplicity of the walk. And if you do read ahead and spend some time in it, well, yeah, it's because often he says people will come saying, well, you can talk the talk. And he says they can sound very compelling, but they're not Christians at all. In fact, he calls them anti-Christians, antichrists. They're not walking the walk, they're talking the talk. And he says that's disastrous. And so that sort of teaching must be disregarded. No, quite simply, we just keep walking in truth and love. Nothing clever, nothing fancy, but let's see what he says. Firstly, he assures us Christian love gladly obeys God's truth. I think there'll be a slide up for that. There we are. Christian love gladly obeys God's truth. You'll often hear, won't we, when we hear on TV or the radio, people being interviewed, and it's very en vogue, isn't it, now? They'll be asked, please share your truth. Yeah, tell us about your truth. And did you notice, though, that John doesn't write about his truth or the church he's writing to, their truth? He doesn't write about a truth. He doesn't write about truth as a virtue. No, he unequivocally writes about the truth. So verse 1, What does he say? Let's look together. He says he loves this church in the truth. The truth. Along with all who know the truth. He writes verse 2, because of the truth. Verse 4, he tells us where he finds his joy, what gets him up in the morning, what helps him pick up his pen to write, is because he finds some of your children walking in the truth. Just poetically saying, the church family, the children, the members, walking in the truth. He says, just as the Father commanded us. And that's good news, because there he says at the end of verse 5, I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. See, you can't split the truth and the love and the love and the truth. Keep walking, he says. I'm so over the moon to hear you're walking in the truth. Because we've been told to love each other. You think, hang on, why are you worried we're walking then, not loving? He says, no, because you walk by loving and you love by walking in the truth. Christian love, one for the other, stands on and falls on our simply walking in, obeying God's truth, God's words, his commands, he puts it here. And so that means, Christians, we can't love each other more, as is again quite on vogue at the moment, by compromising the truth. No, because the truth is upon which our love depends. Not a truth, not your truth, not their truth, but the truth. And so we love each other more by sticking to that truth more and more. And so perhaps if we sometimes wondered, you know, just wouldn't it be a whole lot better and easier? Wouldn't it be a much more compelling advert for Christianity worldwide, not just in London, if all Christians could just put all differences to the sides and present a united and loving front? Would that not just be more compelling? Would that not be easier? Well, of course, some differences are small enough to be put aside. They're insignificant. But any difference which denies the truth, because they deny rather than obey God's words, his commands, are serious. Because that means you'll stop loving. And we keep walking in love by obeying the truth. Now, I say we do that gladly in obedience, because I don't know about you, we don't tend to put sort of obedience and love in the same sentence very often. I don't love my wife Kate and the children. I do love my wife Kate and the children. But I don't do that because they've jolly well told me I must. That would be a really fun household, wouldn't it? But when we know how much God loves us, and when we know that through Christ's cross, then a loving obedience of the one who loves us that much is just a glad, delighted, unquestioning response. And so just a small example, I've included it on the slide as a picture. Again, just picture, as I've tried to do for us, a very cute little child, sort of gladly, unquestioningly, obediently, holding their parents' hand as they cross the road. Parents, do you remember those days? But they do that. Why do they do that? They just stick their hand up. Because they know their parents love, and they're glad to. I remember as they got a bit older, one of our first teens said, nope, don't need to anymore. But you remember when they did, and they just know where they're safe, and they know they're loved, so unquestioningly take a grip and walk across the road. So as I head off on sabbatical in a couple of weeks, the mandate, the prayer, if you like, for you, for me, and for me, for you, is to simply keep going as believers. Whether we're brand new or been at it a lifetime, it is really quite simple. Look, it's all John has expected of this young early church. just keep loving one another, keep going, keep walking together in truth and love. And it's that sort of commitment to the truth, which we'll come to in a moment, but this commitment to a Christ-like love of the truth, one for the other, that helps focus us on helping each other keep trusting the truth about Christ. Keeping him at the center as the truth that unites us all, and the demonstration of love by which we know him, means that's how we'll love others. That's how we'll help each other keep walking. That's why we've made sure that the pulpit won't have anybody who just simply talks the talk come in and cover Sunday by Sunday, because the truth really matters. It's why life group leaders will play their part midweek. It's why we've given it a plug this week. It's why husbands, wives, parents, flatmates, friends, family. If you're wondering how you simply keep the main thing with your Christian brothers and sisters in a church family, it is simply that you'd help one another keep walking in God's love by obeying God's truth. It's not complicated. But John is over the moon to hear they're still doing it, because so many of life's distractions and desires can sneak in. Other things can seem more important or more compelling. Or sin and Satan mean we can stop caring a bit, not see them for a few weeks, a couple of months, and then you realize you've lost touch. John says, no, simply let's help one another keep walking in truth and love. And to do that, it is often costly and time-consuming. But because it's keeping the main thing, it is really worthwhile. And it's the simple thing which just gives John, the disciple, great joy. He's still walking. He's over the moon. Notice if people aren't around Sunday by Sunday, midweek. Don't panic too much. The summer brings change and holidays and all those things. But notice. No one's going to mind if they get a text or a message just from someone, haven't seen you for a week, and think, oh gosh, you're checking. No one minds that. That's a lovely thing to do. Check in, are you okay? You're still going, share a verse of the truth. And please, as I said, it's simple, but do just simply make that your prayer for Kate and me and the children. You'll probably see more of the children over the summer. We won't keep the teens away. You'll struggle to keep us away, but we've been advised it is good to go and be refreshed elsewhere. But do pray that we'd simply keep walking in truth and love, and that we'd come back refreshed in the truth and love. So together we just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Christian love gladly obeys God's truth. And secondly, Christian truth depends on God's love. As Char and I chatted in the week, we're sort of seeing, and the way all this sort of circularity in the way John writes, truth and love and truth. And so verse 6, John instructs, this is love, as we heard earlier, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Now again, John isn't just simply sharing by writing to this church a long time ago and a long way from here, a sort of a hippie-sounding, trendy lifestyle guru kind of thing. It's not his blog post, you know, truth and love, love and truth, guys. It's great. That was a terrible impression of a hippie, wasn't it? But you know what I mean. No, he's actually much more wonderfully, and with great much more security for us today, he's simply quoting the lips of Jesus. He heard these words firsthand by his side, and he'd previously written them up elsewhere in his biography, in his gospel. So keep your finger where we are, and let's do what we don't always do, but dart around a little bit, just a couple of places if you bear with me. Let's go back to John chapter 13, verse 34. You'll find it on page 1082. Page 1082, just, yeah, right at the top left of the corner. 1082. We're in John's Gospel. It's the same John. The difference is now this is before Jesus has died. The letter we had read earlier, the letter we're in at the moment, is after Jesus has died and risen and ascended. How we keep going. So here we are on the lips of Jesus, John by his side, not quite pen at the ready, but look what he says, Jesus says. Verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So the command is clear. Love each other. Do it in the way that I've loved you, Jesus says. Now just turn ahead, or look ahead, sorry, to chapter 15, verse 9. Same John writing of the same Jesus in the same gospel. Jesus unpacks things a little bit more. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Now, if you stop there, we're thinking, okay, this again sounds a bit like a hippie bumper sticker. It's all about love and sticking with it. But what do? He tells us, verse 10, "If you keep my commands," my words, my instruction, "you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." See how it holds together? Truth and love and love and truth. You want to keep sticking in the Father's love, and in the Christian gospel, you stick with the Christian truth. You want to stick with the Christian truth, you'll find yourself walking with Christians in love. To keep walking is to simply depend on the truth of God's love, just as the Lord Jesus did. And that is the love that he therefore demonstrated to us. Not so that he would therefore, as we might think if we're not careful here, that he's declared some really high bar to now go and simply copy to try and get to heaven to be with him. Now that would be a crippling, crippling objective, wouldn't it? That is what every other religious worldview will try and offer. Set the bar high and see if you can make it. You won't. And it's miserable. No, Jesus says the truth of God's love is that he sees us where we are in a state of sin and comes to save that we depend on his truth and promise. He longs for us to know the certainty of our being there ultimately in heaven with him depends on him. So he says, stick with that truth and stay with my love. Where else would you rather go? So John writes, "I am over the moon to hear you are simply walking in truth and love and truth." Just where Jesus told us to be. Picture again the child we sort of had a little image of. They've crossed the road, and let's envisage now the family walk continues. And maybe you've been on them yourself. And all the little toddler's got to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other, enjoying the journey. And it might feel like miles. And if it's a pinball family walk, maybe it is. Maybe it is. And of course, on a family walk, everyone's going at different paces. That's all right. Some are charging off ahead. Others stumbling on behind, perhaps needing a bit more help. But on that walk, as those little legs try and take little Junior on the family journey, you know, don't you, that it's not on the toddler to make it home. Mum or dad, of course, is going to help those tired legs get there, and at a certain point might well just simply scoop them up, put them on their shoulders, and get them home. So we say to the child, just keep walking. But at no point do they think, gosh, if I don't, might they just leave me? They know they're going home. They're walking in the wonderful assurance of the truth and love of their parent who'll get them there. Jesus says, stick with me, I'll do the same. Friends, if we love God this morning, and I mean therefore not simply talking the talk, but walking the walk as best we can, well, he says, verse 5, we're to love one another as he commanded and then demonstrated. It is as simple as putting one foot of faith in front of the other and helping others do the same. It is secure as knowing that the destination has been assured. But of course, as we do that in a Christ-like way, we can be quite sure as we look at the cross that Christ-like love will be costly, because life is hard enough. And so it will require us, in the simplicity of all that's said here, to put the needs of others above ourselves, so that they would keep walking in truth and love. Again, that doesn't make us mini saviors. But by faith in the same Father's promises, we are family. And the responsibility, one to the other, brother to sister, is to, at times, when needed, when observed, to put out that hand and help someone keep walking in truth and love and truth. To help others keep depending, keep leaning on the Lord. And that means that the love that should be demonstrated here at Christ Church Crouch End, and wonderfully I could give so many examples, and lots of you have been here a lot longer than I have and could speak of that those examples over many decades. A love that is to be willing to go further than any other sort of form of love that can be found in any other community that people might be part of. Because it's the only place where there's a love that is both modelled on and secured by God's love for its members. A love that went as far as the cross to save a sinner. Friends, we are called to simply keep helping one another, keep walking in truth and love and truth. And again, I hope it's clear, not because it's simple, it will be costly, but it is simply all we're asked to do. That is how we keep the main thing as a church family. That is how, in the business of all of our lives, in all of our plans and programs, holidays and hopes of all the things a church leadership and PCC will find itself distracted by and discussing, rightly so in lots of places. But as we look at our own life's mess and wonder, can I really make the time to muddy myself with someone else's? John says, remember Jesus, who simply says, keep walking in the truth of his love. By lovingly help others keep walking in the same truth. We do that by simply coming Sunday by Sunday, midweek by midweek to the life groups. Again, not to secure heaven, but to simply help another keep walking. That's why we call it a service. We're here to serve the other by helping one another walk in truth and love. And so as we draw to a close, maybe just this morning, if you consider yourself part of the Christchurch family, maybe you could just commit to asking, who might I help? Who might I commit to helping? Not because it will be most convenient. Who might I help despite it being most costly? That they would just keep walking in truth and love. Who will I notice when they're not here? Who will I send a verse to that encourage me that they need to keep hearing? Who might I pray for or call, if people still call, message, chat to, visit? Whose messy life can I let into my messy life? Because we're simply walking through life together. For Christian love gladly obeys God's truth. And Christian truth depends on God's love. And if you're not yet sure of that truth, still listening, discerning, trying to find out more about that truth, you've come to the right place. A place where you want to proclaim it and practically live it out. Please keep coming. Please keep asking. And hopefully, Lord willing, you'll see us keep walking. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of the gospel. A truth that meets sinners where we are, and seeing that we are dead before you in our sin saves. A truth that doesn't say try harder or keep up, but saves. And you know that we doubt and we fear, and as our walk on that journey of faith continues, it often gets harder rather than easier. Life gets busier. The walk can get more wearisome. And so, Lord, we pray as a church family that just like the Apostle John here, absent from this church he ministered to, that we would share and echo that prayer of a mutual love and joy in just simply hearing that we keep one another walking in truth and love. Would that be our priority? Because it's your priority. Not because it's simple, but because you simply say, keep going. It'll be Christ-like, so it'll be costly, but always worthwhile. Or would we rejoice in the opportunities to enter and let people in to each other's mess of life, so that even if it's metaphorically speaking, we can hold one another's hands, keeping each other rooted in your word, living it out obediently because of your love for each other and our love for one another on which it's modeled. So Lord, please, we pray, help each other by your grace, keep walking. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.